entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Only on LA Talk.
That's right. They don't take us anywhere else, on LA Talk Radio. Boy, how you doing, Michael? Good
I'm
to see
good. You. Thank you very much. I'm glad to see that Southern California has become a little damp overnight today.
Got a little bit of rain, that's right.
Yeah.
Looking green and beautiful again.
Yeah, we need it. You know, people out here, if you've never been to, have you been to California before?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah.
We're talking to our guests. And, you know, because when the rain happens, people don't know how to drive, so they just kind of, they can't go to work, of course, because they can't drive.
The city stops.
It's like horrifying.
Well, we have some fun here today, don't we, Michael?
We do.
Talent, beauty in the studio, lots of good things going on. But most impressively, we're talking about a show that absolutely stirs my interest like nothing else. This is a cool project, isn't it, Michael?
It's a very cool project, of course. I will say this in a light form of reference. It's not really a sequel. Andrew
right.
Lloyd Webber doesn't like to call it a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continuation, but it certainly has its beauty and majesty of everything that was in Phantom of the Opera, and perhaps a little more.
That's right. And, of course, the show we're alluding to is Love Never Dies at the beautiful Pantages Theater right now. So, obviously, something we're going to tell you a little bit more about today. But, Michael, I wanted to go ahead and introduce some of the stuff we did this week as well. We need to thank our sponsors. So here it is, April 19th, and we do have a really exciting show today.
We do indeed, Andrew, and we have with us in studio two brilliant performers from the L.A. premiere of Love Never Dies on stage now through April 22nd at the Hollywood Pantages Theater.
Love Never Dies takes audiences on a thrilling roller coaster ride of intrigue, obsession, and romance in a beautiful continuation of one of the world's greatest love stories.
And we are thrilled to have these beautiful women in the studio because we have beautiful women every once in a while, but these girls are really...
And you can only lock the door so many times before they just get out. You know, it's just terrible. My goodness. All these people come into our studio and flee when they see us, Michael. What are their names, my friend?
We want to welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Megan Piserno and Mary Michael Patterson.
That's right. Welcome, welcome. Well, now, we joke a lot on this show about some of these fun things and shows that have all these different kind of feelings and emotions and that sort of thing, but this really is a continuation of truly a show that changed the way theater was done. Mm-hmm. Must be amazing to be a part of it, yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. For
cool.
sure.
Well, we're going to talk to you more in just a little bit. Do you mind hanging around while we pay some bills? We don't want to get kicked off in the middle of the show, right? We'll be right back with you guys in just a second. Michael, shall we go ahead and thank our sponsors?
I think we should. We would like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our presenting sponsor, Princess Cruises, for coming on board with State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas. For meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
That's right. One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess Cruises carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide, obviously aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels, Michael.
I know, that's amazing.
Pretty cool.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
So cool.
So make sure that you enter every month for your chance to win. And all you have to do is go to our network page, State of the Arts network page at LA Talk Radio, and click on that, and you will see a Princess logo, and you'll click on that and that will put you into the running for this extravagant vacation.
And what a great prize that is. Obviously, Princess, I mean, just truly the hallmark of what you want to go and experience the cruise ship experience with. We'd also, of course, like to thank Performing Arts Live as well. They've been with us for so many years, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Indeed. Speaking of great things, Andrew, anything great about your theatrical, in the theatrical?
You were there for it the whole time, man. You were my theatrical week this week, brother.
I just wanted to see if you remember.
We traveled down to the beautiful Valley Performing Arts Center. I mean, truly one of the best venues in Southern California, right? And we saw South Pacific.
Not quite the Pantages, but it's very beautiful.
You know, I mean, we're lucky to live in L.A., right? Because we get multiple places where you can go see Broadway-quality shows. Any part of town, you know, there's one near you. Obviously, the Pantages, Valley Performing Arts Center, and others as well, where we've been really blessed to see some of these amazing projects. And Valley Performing Arts Center was really a fun experience. They make it very easy to get in and out of that theater, obviously on the campus of Cal State Northridge, run by good friends of the show down there. We got to see some people who we know and love. But the show itself, South Pacific, was just amazing. Wasn't it beautiful?
It was very much so. And Stephanie Wall, who played the role of Nellie Forbush, and John Cudia, who played Emil Debeck.
Both our guests just lit up.
It was a prelude of four performances here at the Valley Performing Arts Center, which then officially reopens at the La Mirada Performing Arts Center in La Mirada, which is south in Orange County area. And the production is produced by Tom McCoy and his wife, Kathy Rigby. Kathy Rigby, the gymnast, the world famous gymnast, singer, turned Tony nominee.
That's right.
Peter Pan. We love Kathy, and she's been on this show a couple times. But boy, what a great production. It was full of life and full of great performances. And just to hear that score again, my gosh, what a pleasure that was. Huh?
Yeah, and lots of good stuff going on. We obviously talked to our friends at Five Star Theatricals last week as well. Yes. So much good theater going on here in the Southland.
I did attend that show. I did attend that opening.
Really? And what'd you think?
You know what? It was nice to see it. I haven't seen it since it was a national tour, and one of my former clients, Susan Anton, was actually in that national tour. But it was wonderful to hear the music, and the two stars we had in from the show were fantastic.
How cool.
And the audience had a good time. You know, it's kind of leaning on the Elvis. Do you know the show, All Shook Up?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't. It's cute.
A jukebox show, but I think has a better story than most of those.
Cool.
But it was fun, and the dancing was great. It was well done. The audience received it very, very well, and it's in through this coming weekend.
Very cool.
Yeah. So hopefully, if you want to go down to the El Portal Theater, that's in North Hollywood, the NoHo Arts District, just contact El Portal online, and you could purchase your tickets.
That's great. Did you wear your blue suede shoes?
You know what, Dave?
Didn't you get a gift? They were offering a gift for blue suede shoes, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know what it was because I never got it.
Oh, come on. So now you got to go back and knock down the doors. Not like you're never at the Federal either. You can go knock on the El Portal every week until you get it. So
give me that gift.
And, of course, we talked to Will North last week as well about a show that opens up at Five Star Theatricals, The Hunchback of Notre Dame as well, which is cool. So
Sandra Murphy. Playing Esmeralda.
And couldn't get any better than that. Now, obviously, we are lucky to live here in Los Angeles where we have so much access to great theater. And one of the premier locations, of course, is the Pantages, who likewise is so supportive of so many other shows in the Southland. And what a great community of theater-going people we have here. You see people talking about shows and advertising each other's programs. A really great environment. Tough to beat a show like Love Never Dies that's there now. You get to go see something that you already have a legacy with, right? Mm-hmm. You get to go see a show that you grew up with, you know, the Michael Crawfords and the Davis Gaines of the world who imbued that music in your soul, and now you get to find out some more of the story.
Exactly.
Shall we bring these ladies in?
Let's do it. Yeah. So our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a coloratura soprano, hailed by the New York Times for her attractive soprano voice and for having total control of the stage.
Appearing in productions both nationally and internationally, she is equally at home on opera, theater, and concert stages.
She performed as Kunigunde
Cunegonde.
Cunegonde.
All those opera names.
In New York City's opera smash hit production of Candide, directed by industry legend Hal Prince, and Lucia in Lucia de Lammermoor. Mm-hmm. With Regina Opera.
She played the role of Olympia in The Tales of Hoffman, Marie and the Daughter of the Regiment, and premiered the role of Gilda in Rigoletto at the Opera Williamsburg.
Off-Broadway, she played Lucy Dreyfus in The Dreyfus Affair with Ensemble for the Romantic Century, and the lead soprano role in musicals in Mufti. From Berlin to Broadway with the York Theatre Company.
She has performed the Queen of the Night in Mozart's Magic Flute at the Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall, played the Sandman Dew Fairy in Hansel and Gretel. Is that right?
That's
Sandman
right.
Dew Fairy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's tough to put on a resume. I'm the Sandman Dew Fairy.
Well,
very
it's
nice.
In German, so it's okay.
You know, it's funny. I ran into a lot of those names on your resume as well. But so many great performances. Obviously made a solo concert debut at New York City's David Geffen Hall as Alice and Alice Tully Hall. Is
and
that correct?
Alice Tully Hall.
Unbelievable,
mm-hmm.
My goodness.
I didn't know David Geffen had a venue there.
New York venue, that's right.
Mm-hmm. She has also garnered accolades for her performances as Joanna in Sweeney Todd, Marion in The Music Man, Nancy in Oliver, and Maria in West Side Story, among many others. She's here today, however, to talk about her current starring role as Christine in the U.S. premiere and first national tour of Love Never Dies. On stage now at Hollywood Pantages Theater, please welcome the very beautiful and the very talented Megan Piserno.
Wow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Hi, good to be here.
So, no kidding, you've been all over the world singing for so many different kinds of audiences. I got to ask you, opera or musical theater?
Both.
Where would you go? Oh, of course. Put your hands together,
come
she
on.
Says. It's such a different thing, but we saw recently a number of performers who are opera trained who have musical theater roles. I've got to think that transition's a little bit difficult, is it?
You know, it's a transition, but I think, first off, I mean, if you can do both, why not?
Right.
And also, as an American performer, I actually think that it's part of my responsibility. I think that with my classical training, I can add colors and flavors to certain musicals, especially revivals, like you know, we spoke of South Pacific, or not South Pacific for me, but you know, like West Side Story, Carousel, yeah. Things like this. I mean, you know, when they first were performed, they would have been performed by people that had very similar training to myself, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So in that realm, I think that I'm excited to represent the classical world, and opera singers can act. So
I've heard that rumor. Certainly,
know.
Now
I know the rumor's out, but it's true.
What I wanted to say about that was, why did it take Tara Rubin so long to find you and Hal Prince? I mean, and tell us how that
well,
came together.
Well, I tell you, you know, things are kind of crazy. I was singing in Spain, and I came back literally from the airport, like changing into a gown to do this recital on the Upper East Side in New York, and I was tired, and I was like, I should just cancel, man. I'm literally, like, off the plane. And I was like, I'll just do it. So I sang a very famous song from Candide called Glitter and Bigay.
Sure.
And I sang, and the pianist was like, you know, New York City Opera, for the past month while you've been in Spain, has been looking for a Cunegonde. Wow. And I was like, oh, well, oh my gosh, I just fired my agent and I don't have anyone. I don't know. So on a lunch break, all my coaches from the Metropolitan Opera, they contacted Michael Capasso, who now is like one of my favorite people in the whole world,
wow.
Head of New York City Opera, and they're like, you have to hear this girl. So on a lunch break of an open call, I went in and did my crazy thing. And then I got called back, and that's when I met Hal Prince, Pat Birch. I mean, these people now are my
that's
mentors.
Amazing.
And they're instrumental in my career. And when I did, and so Candide is an interesting blend. It's kind of like Harry Potter when all the houses come together. You have your dancers, your Broadway people, your opera people, because it's a true blend
yeah.
of worlds. And so as I did it, my eyes were kind of opened. And, you know, I learned from so many amazing professionals like Chip Zine, Greg Adelman, Linda Lavin. I mean, people who are just incredible. And I realized that I was very much in a comfort zone of living both in opera land
wow.
and then Broadway. And
wow.
that's when kind of they were like, would you ever do Broadway? And I was like, yeah.
You're going to say no to that, right?
Yeah. So I was so excited. And I have to tell you, each world that I live in, I learn more and have tools to bring to the other world, you know? I mean,
right.
being in the moment, I think, I mean, Mary Michael and my other wonderfully talented colleagues, one thing I'm always just so in awe of is in the music theater world, you just go. It's like, here, can you learn these 50 pages in one day? And people are like, yeah, sure. Oh, you want us to change that now? Sure, yeah. Oh, you want us to do 8 shows a week? Sure. In the opera world, you have 48 hours off in between.
Right.
You know, and so that just go get 'em attitude. And again, the acting standpoint then, indeed, like I'm learning tools in this world that I can bring then over into the opera world. I mean, some of my favorite performers in the opera world are actually profound performers.
I'm sure.
You know, and so, and then again, in the opera world, I can bring over my classical training, and I have news for you. I would not be able to do this beautiful show without my classical training, truly. I mean, it is a grand piece of score. I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote this music. It's very classical, to be honest. And again, I would never have been able to do it as I'm doing it without my training. So I love both worlds. And fun fact, a lot of opera houses now are starting to do, you know, quote, classic music theater, Sweeney Todd, West Side Story,
right.
Jesus Christ Superstar is at Chicago Lyric Opera.
Like, right.
I mean, so the worlds are blending, and it's exciting to be able to do both. And
that's
I love
great.
Both. They speak to different sides of my soul. So there's that.
Do you feel that the, I think when people think of opera, they think of very sophisticated and maybe, you know, kind of a little stuffy. Do you?
People leaning against pianos, you know, that sort of thing to sing their songs.
Okay, well, look. There's always a seed of truth. It happens.
No, I'm just talking about the difference between Broadway audiences are very enthusiastic, generally speaking, and more free-form in their reaction to what they're seeing. Do you sense that to be the case between opera audiences and Broadway?
In America, yes.
In America,
you know, I mean, you have to remember opera, especially in Europe, it was the music theater of its day. And it's fascinating when, you know, I'm singing in Italy or Germany or France, you know, that was part of the, it's part of their fiber, it's part of their being. It's not this, you know, only the rich and old people go to opera. No, it's part of their
everyday. I'm sorry, what was that again?
I won't do that. It was a one-time go.
I should have captured that for a sound effect on future shows there.
Oh, voiceover work. Hey, I'm
That's
here.
Right.
No, but really, you know, in America, I think it does sometimes get this, because it is so beautiful and so grand, and the opera houses are stunning, and, you know, I love when people dress up to go to the theater and stuff like that, but indeed, you know, it actually is accessible to everybody, and part of my hope is both myself and my counterpart, Garter Thor Cortez, we're both from the opera world, and I hope that if the audience members love what we're doing with this show, maybe they'll think, hey, you know, wow, those are opera singers? Maybe I'll go see an opera, you know, and vice versa. I love, I mean, what's her name? She's at the Met right now from the Broadway world.
Oh, Kelly O'Hara.
Kelly O'Hara is at the Met, and she's fabulous. So it can be done, and it is accessible to everybody. I mean, LA Opera is literally awesome. It's
That's
so
right.
cool.
Yeah. Well, and there was an artist, one very visionary artist, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, who said, you know what? The opera world and the musical theater world.
Sir Andrew David James.
He's very good, although he hasn't gotten a sir yet, not by a long shot. I can't even get my kids to call me sir, man, I tell you. No! So it was interesting when he first came out with Phantom of the Opera, of course, what this show is built off of, a continuation of, it was the idea of the opera world and the musical theater world are so close. Let's bridge that gap and let's find the magic in between. Changed the way people saw musical theater.
Totally.
Opened up new audiences, and from that surprisingly sprang things like Miss Saigon and Les Mis and of course Rent and all these things that we've continued to push forward with. But it was Phantom of the Opera that brought in all these fans of opera and all these musical theater fans and said, you can have both. Take your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
What a cool thing to be a part of this now that's getting rave reviews already. Isn't that a great thing?
It is. I mean, and also, let me just tell you, I mean, we are truly part of a legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is one of the musical geniuses of our time, and it blows my mind. He's also one of the kindest, most incredible people to ever work with and meet. And I think that we're really privileged to be able, I mean, he literally handpicked each and every person in this cast to be in it. And so all of us are there for a purpose, and to know that Andrew believes in us and this incarnation of the show so much, and we get to perform it for the first time. I mean, we have so many fans that say, we've been waiting for this for 8 years.
Wow.
I mean, literally.
I'm not surprised.
And indeed, like, he has geniusly blended the world of opera and music theater in this beautiful piece. And it really is a privilege. I mean, it's amazing. This is another thing, too. To be able to do something for the first time, it's really incredible. It's exciting. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Well, the show we're talking about is...
And an amazing, very memorable score out here, too.
That's right.
Oh, it's breathtaking. Yeah. Truly.
Good. Always nice to know.
The show we're talking about is Love Never Dies, and it's playing right now at one of our favorite venues, the amazing Pantages Theater, the Hollywood Pantages Theater here in Los Angeles, where you can go. And in fact, anybody who comes into town, it's on their list of five great things to do in LA. You got to stop by. You got to see the Pantages Theater. You got to understand what's going on there. And the Hollywood Pantages does something a little bit unique. It takes theater and it builds history and all the shows that have been there, the amazing people who have walked that stage, the award shows that have been there, and it kind of wraps you up in that world. You leave and you're right there on the Walk of Fame, and there's always people about. It's a fun place to be. Lots of food out and around. So if you get a chance, their runs are always fantastic, Tuesday through Friday, 8 p.m. So you go down there on a Wednesday, a Thursday night, you can get great seats and see a great show. Also, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 6:30 p.m., and matinees on Saturday at 2 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m.
And we will say for the Pantages Theater's colleague, the Segerstrom Performing Arts Center down in Costa Mesa. The show will make that move just after it closes here at the Pantages. So the run in Costa Mesa at Segerstrom is between April 24th and May 5th. And for tickets, you simply, which are start at $29. How is that even possible?
That's right.
You can call 714-556-2787 and get tickets right over the phone like that, and or go online at the Segerstrom Center website. You'll find that easily. But again, those dates are right after it closes here at the Pantages in Los Angeles, and that run, of course, here is April 4th. It's already in progress, of course, through the 22nd.
That's right. And, of course, the easiest way to get tickets to the show at the Pantages, as we said, now through the 22nd, is to go to online, just visit them, HollywoodPantages.com, or, of course, they're always on Ticketmaster as well. The phone number for Ticketmaster, I believe, is 1-800-982-2787. And, of course, if you have any questions at all, you can always visit the Hollywood Pantages box office right there. It's a great trip
or
down there and all
the
sort of thing
Andrew
as well.
James.
Sir Andrew David James. Well, I want that title so desperately. Do you think we can get that by the end of the show? Call the Queen. Who's got a contact with the Queen? Come on now.
Oh, so, I have some with the wrong Queen.
It's a different kind of sir. So, obviously, so many great things going on here in LA, but we're going to continue to talk about this show here because there's so much to discuss. We should take a quick break and do a live arts calendar.
Sure.
Is that okay? You won't storm out on us, yeah? I got that door
the
shut.
The door's
I'm
locked, so
yeah, no, the
stuck.
Locks don't work in this building. They wouldn't trust me with locked doors. I get myself locked in places. Let's go ahead and do a quick live arts calendar. The Willows Funeral Home in mortician Mark Black's neighborhood is being groomed to take over the family business from his father. But an unexpected reunion with the one that got away could derail those carefully laid plans. Don't miss The Willows, a moving new play about family, loss, and love, on stage now through May 5th at the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles. For tickets or more information, call 213-389-3856 or visit thebootlegtheater.org.
Well said.
Thank you. You know what a great, again, the Bootleg Theater, that's my kind of theater, man. I think I would live there with a name like that.
It's kind of toward downtown a little bit.
Yeah. And again, this is one of those situations, too, where there's a lot of cool theater going on here
very
in the Southland.
So.
Do you guys ever get a day off to get out and go see something?
We do.
We work nonstop.
A few.
I live in the theater.
Yeah.
And have you seen anything recently? She says, no, I've been nonstop.
I saw the revival of Carousel in New York.
Oh, yeah, me
last
too.
Last time I was there. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion of L.A. versus New York theater? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I haven't seen anything in L.A.
Really?
But I think we're great theater, so I have to say that it's probably great.
No doubt about that. Well, obviously, there's a lot of cool houses, and we're going to continue our conversation here on this cool show in just a second.
Yeah, I just want to ask you both, do you know this, and I think, and the publicists are here with us today, too, so maybe they can answer this.
Even more talent and more beauty tucked in behind us.
Yes, yeah.
Pantages always sends cool people, don't they?
They do.
cool people.
This is, I think, a fact that in the backstage area, it's carpeted. Is this correct? In the backstage area, it's carpeted.
Parts of it, yeah.
And the reason for that is that when Yul Brynner played the Pantages in The King and I, that it was in his contract that the backstage area be carpeted because all of the company mostly did not wear any shoes.
Huh.
So it was
I did not know that.
Protect them, their feet. And I think that they never, you know, they just stuck to that, and it's been carpeted
ever since.
I'm sure it's not the same carpet, but, you know.
To keep feet protected. Of course, we saw the King and I there just recently as well. So.
We did. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing event that was.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest has performed throughout the country in roles that have taken her from Broadway to the concert stage. She played the starring role of Christine in Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, Liesel in The Sound of Music at Carnegie Hall, Cosette in Les Mis with Casa Mañana, and Marianne, is it Marianne or Mariana?
Marianne.
Oh, Marianne, one of the three, right? In the world premiere of Sense and Sensibility at the Denver Center.
She returned to the Broadway stage for excuse me, Anything Goes, played the role of Judy in White Christmas with Syracuse Stage, and played Kathy in Singing in the Rain, one of my favorite shows, with Pittsburgh Opera Civic Light, Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera, Musical Theater of Wichita, and the Marriott Theater.
Her concert work includes guest appearances with the American Pop Symphony Orchestra and the Fairfax Symphony Orchestra at the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival. She has also performed numerous times with the St. Louis Municipal Opera Theater and Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera.
Most recently, however, she starred in the world premiere of Luck Be a Lady with a solo repertory theater. That's how it is solo.
That's Oslo.
Oh, Oslo.
Uh-huh. It does look just like
good
a solo.
A solo would be a great name. We got to start that now.
She is in studio with us today. That's more important. And she is talking about her role as Meg Geary in the L.A. premiere of Love Never Dies at Hollywood Pantages Theater. Please welcome the beautiful and the slightly Irish Mary Michael Patterson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thanks.
Thank you for being so patient with us as we get to you here at the second part of the show. But what a cool thing that we get to talk more about this, because you play a character that has a unique relationship in this show, yeah?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. Meg is the lead showgirl now on Coney Island, and she grew up in the ballet corps, as we know from the original Phantom, and now she's doing more of a vaudevillian style performance, and she's been doing it for a long time. She works very, very hard, and we get to see her kind of grapple with when that work is not appreciated and what ends up happening, kind of, you know, her unraveling, I guess. I can't give any spoilers. But,
right.
but yeah, it's a really interesting, I mean, I think it's a really mature, nuanced version of this phantom world. You know, I think the original is really beautiful and romantic. sorry, I hit the mic.
But, stirred up with romance.
Yeah. This one it looks at a little bit more of a mature look at love and, you know, the things that we'll do for our teachers and for our partners. And I think it's neat. It's a neat departure, I think.
Can we say who Meg's mama is?
Madame Giry.
My goodness.
Played by the incomparable Karen Mason.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yes. Very talented,
LA's
yeah.
star, Karen Mason, yeah.
Well, now, we've talked a lot about this house that you're working in, the Pantages Theater. The Hollywood Pantages Theater is obviously such a beautiful space. Now, when you played Christine, that must be a strange thing to come at it from such a different perspective and in this opera house feel kind of stage. How does that work as an actress when you're played one part and you have a very definitive view of that character? You've played it for obviously a number of performances, and then you have to kind of look at the show or the story from a different perspective in this continuation of that. How does that work?
Well, I think it serves my performance now. You know, I spent so much time in that world. I did the show for almost 2 years on Broadway, so I did many performances as Christine, and it was such a treat. But I think, you know, knowing the original score and the show so well, it just gave me fuel for this show now. So I think it's only served it. I mean, sometimes it's funny because, you know, I'll catch myself, answering, like, people say, who do you play in the show? And, like, sometimes I'll be like,
Oh, wait, nope.
Yeah, no. It's just funny because
as your cohort
sort of like
slaps you on the head. Not
yeah.
correct anymore.
But it's just sort of a knee-jerk thing,
right,
you know, because
course.
It was such a big part of my life.
I'm
but,
sure.
Yeah, I think it's helpful.
Yeah, and that must have been definitive as well for your career, because Christine is a role that you have to become Christine in order to do that long of a role. I mean, you have to really embody everything she is.
Absolutely.
And what a turbulent life. To see it from this perspective and to watch somebody else go through that, you must also kind of be like, wow, that's a lot of work to do that role as well.
It is. It's an exhausting role to play, I think, in the original and in this one. You know, Christine is always at the center of the drama. She's sort of the receiving end of all the action. And that can be exhausting emotionally, because you're just sort of always, absorbing everything that's happening around you. Especially in the original, you know, she kind of just gets things thrown at her, essentially,
right.
you know, and
very
she just
true.
Kind of has
quite
to
literally,
deal with that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's exhausting, and that's, you know, I'm thrilled I got to do it, but it's nice to do something different too. You know, Meg uses a different range of my voice, and
interesting.
I get to dance again, which I love to dance, and you don't get to dance when you're Christine.
That's true.
Really,
a lot of stand and sing, huh?
Yeah, a lot of park and bark kind of thing, you know.
Love
so,
that.
It's great. So it's just a different side of my skill set, but it's fun to get to use it, because it's sort of my roots. You know,
sure.
musical comedy has always been a big part of my life.
Wow.
The Kathy Seldens and the Peggy Sawyers. I've done all those
Did you
roles.
Ever think when you were playing Liesel that you'd be playing Christine on Broadway?
I didn't at the time.
Plus with the Nazis chasing her, she didn't have much time to worry about it, you know?
yeah, I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere, and it was a real treat that it did.
Right.
Cool.
Well, what a fun thing. Obviously, as we look here about the press release and all the different things that we've seen about this show, I don't think people know the songs by heart from this show like they obviously do from Phantom. Can you, and I listened to a couple clips of them that are just absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little rundown kind of some of the songs that people are going to hear in this and a little bit how the music compares with Phantom?
Sure. I think the opening song that you hear, which is sung by the Phantom, is called Till I Hear You Sing, and it's, I think it's definitely one that people leave humming.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the title song, Love Never Dies, is one that people always remember.
Epic, yeah.
So epic.
Wow.
So gorgeous.
Yeah. That Andrew Lloyd Webber, he can write a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling
it
right here.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. But I think, you know, musically, I think this is one of Andrew's most beautiful scores, mm-hmm. and I think it's so sophisticated. The orchestrations are stunning, and I think the real star of the show is the orchestration, truthfully, because when you hear it and you know the original well, you get all these little nuggets that are sort of weaved into the inner parts of the orchestra that if you do know the original, you're just going to go, oh, I know that.
Right.
You know, it's going to be kind of this
reoccurring theme.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
It's part of the ambiance of the show and played so beautifully by our orchestra right now. I just think it's so lovely, and there's definitely hints of the original, so you get to kind of hear the winks and the nods, but then there's also a lot of beautiful themes that are totally new, and I think they're really gorgeous, and I know the audience is responding really well to those. Mm-hmm. So.
And the critics certainly are as well. If you want to hear some of the reviews of the show, obviously just go on and Google them. You're going to see some really great things that people have said about this.
And the spectacle of the show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the design is gorgeous.
Yes, and the costumes and just it, the whole setting in Coney Island and all of that is quite unique.
That's right.
And kind of ingenious, I think, actually, to make that transition from the Paris Opera House.
A little bit daring, because the other one worked so well, right? To go, hey, let's step away from one of the things that was iconic about the first part of the show and then do that is a really cool change and a really cool adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Love Never Dies is the name of the show, now on stage at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Again, the easiest way to get tickets is just to go to Ticketmaster and type in Love Never Dies, or you can obviously visit the HollywoodPantages.com. Sorry, that's HollywoodPantages.com. Again, you can always stop by the box office down there. Individual tickets start at $49. This is a really great piece, and it's recommended for ages 12 and up. It's a serious show, and I tell you, any young theater people out there looking to go see something new and something cool, this is a great place to do that.
I concur. And then again, of course, as we said earlier, April 24th through May 5th down at Segerstrom Hall. Tickets are on sale now there. So that's in Costa Mesa. But we're talking about the Pantages in this production, and here's what I'd like to ask both of you, actually. Now, did you know at a young age, and if so, how young, that you wanted to do what you're doing today?
Absolutely.
Nice, I like that.
Megan, why no?
No, I mean, I've always loved music. I play piano, and that's how I started off in music. But now I wanted to be a doctor.
You did?
Yeah.
Come on, doctor.
A singing doctor? Yeah, I guess. But when my, you know, though, when music picks you, it picks you. And honestly, I can firmly say I get up and do, I'm living my dream. I love what I do every day. I can't imagine doing anything else. And it just, once it gets you, it gets you. And I love, I am so thankful, I have to tell you. And no, I didn't know. But when it strikes, it strikes.
Plus, doctors make all that money. It's so much more fun to be an artist than it was, really.
Mary Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I started dancing when I was 3, so I basically just have always done this. And it was never even a conscious decision. I just started doing it, excuse me, more and more, and then I fell into it. But I do remember, and this is a story that's so bizarre but so kind of centric to my experience with the Phantom. I saw the national touring production of Phantom of the Opera when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
In Fort Worth, Texas. And I remember it was the first piece of theater that I think I understood on a bigger level. And I said to my mom, I said, well, I'm going to just play Christine one day. I'll just do that. And my mom was like, okay, you know, we'll see, you know. And she bought me the souvenir program. And I went home and I memorized all of the words.
Wow.
To the show. And I danced it in my room over and over and over and over again. And then like 20 years later, I was doing it on Broadway.
That's so awesome.
And so I just think there's such a powerful thing about kids just deciding, you know, and just going like, yeah, that's for me. I'm going to do that. And so, you know, ever since that moment, Andrew Lloyd Webber and his music and his shows have just been such a big part of my life. And I can't seem to get away from them, you know, like I keep finding them in my life. So it's kind of a cool full circle
that's so neat.
Experience.
That is neat.
Yeah.
That is neat. So there was no conflict from your family. They supported this decision.
They were so
and
supportive.
Megan, from yours. They
oh, same. They.
Completely.
I mean, they see that I love what I do. Yeah. Like, I literally love what I do.
How could they not be proud of seeing their baby on stage?
Right? Yeah, are you from the Fort Worth area?
I am, yeah.
Wonderful. Obviously, such a great early music program and emphasis down there in Fort Worth.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, and in Texas as a whole, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much great.
So many of the universities devote a ton of resources to that. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool thing. Very nice.
And that's not a state that we would necessarily think about, you know.
Yeah,
that,
it's interesting. I think, you know, because it's so big and there are so many big cities, the arts do have a really important place for people. And, you know, Fort Worth and Dallas both, the theater scene is just remarkable. And I was able to grow up watching professionals do what they love to do. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, you can do this as a job.
Right.
You know, you can make this your profession. And I think I only really understood that because I could see it. You know, so important for me to be able to watch people do it and go, oh, they're happy and they love that, you know, and they're able to support themselves. So it's a neat thing for a kid to see, you know, because it's the only reason they would end up doing it. You know, they have to be led by an example.
Well, you know, in Houston, Texas, was the first time that I had, was the first time that Jekyll and Hyde went up.
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
With Linda Etter.
Etter, mm-hmm. Of course.
And I happened to be there at the time, and I was getting ready to work on the national tour of the Fantastics with Robert Goulet as El Gallo, and the PR folks had hired me out here to actually go on the tour, you know, brought me to Houston. And on our night off, we went there and saw that show. And
it was the
opening night of that. And it was remarkable because I knew who Linda Etter was. She kind of looks like you, actually, out there. A little bit like you. She's very pretty.
Incognito today, I'm
very
sure.
Pretty.
So
I'm talking to one of our publicists, the Pantages publicist here. To see her in that role and that storyline was remarkable. And then to think that it's just trying itself out here.
Right.
It's trying to get to New York. Will it get to New York?
Right.
And the score and the whole thing, it was a very magical night. So I'm happy it took a while for it to get there, but
certainly had an amazing run after that.
It then gave her a remarkable career.
No, yeah, she really went. She just flew after that, too. And it's interesting when you see something in workshop stages, something, you know, like this show that was new and never seen before, to watch it start rolling, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And we certainly know that Love Never Dies will have that same sort of positive effect. Where do you guys head after this? Where are you going?
Costa Mesa is next.
Yeah.
Seattle
Sigma Strung,
and
right.
Portland.
Yeah, we have a little bit left on our West Coast leg, and then we have a break, and then we start back on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, do you guys like touring?
Yeah. I mean,
really cool.
It's cool. You get to literally go all around the country, and the audiences in every different culture love the show. And that's neat. And also people like friends and family that are all around the country get to see it. And that's, I like that we get to bring it first to people. You know, I mean, usually like something's on Broadway first and then goes, well, we're going to you first. And I like that. I think it's really neat.
Well, this is obviously a beautiful concept and an important tour in that it does build on one of the most amazing stories ever told. Again, the name of the show is Love Never Dies, Hollywood Pantages Theater. And it's running now. It started April 4th and runs all the way through the 22nd. Go to Ticketmaster and get your tickets now.
Or to the Hollywood Pantages box office right there on Hollywood Boulevard. I would go there.
Yeah.
Because I think you might get even better tickets.
No, and plus you have an excuse to stop and get food.
Expensive.
So much good food around there.
Yeah.
Man.
Absolutely.
Go down and do those happy hours. Just go from one to the next.
Sure.
Like 800 pounds heavier by the time I leave, but it's totally worth it. So
go to the W Hotel across the street in what they call the living room, which is their main lobby, and have a drink or two. You better bring another $100 with you.
That's expensive at the
W Hotel.
But good, mighty delicious. Now, the Pantages, of course, when you make your trek down there, it's a fun, easy place to park. There's lots of lots around there, and obviously street parking as well. Occasionally, if you bring a program or something, you might even be able to get one of the performers to sign it. I've seen a few kids who are very ecstatic walking away.
Oh, yeah, we come out that stage
door. How often do you stay at the stage door and sign?
Every night.
Wow, I love that. That's great.
Well, it's the same as, you never, I mean, we're meeting the next generation of people that are going to be on that stage.
You are. I know my daughter's walked away with multiple programs where she thinks that this is it, I got it, and this is changing my life. And you can see them, you know, light up and grow. And certainly young students, you know, 13, 14 years old who see this show are going to feel the same way I felt when I was 14 and saw Phantom for the first time, which
absolutely.
Is a great thing to see. Andrew Lloyd Webber reaching the next generation of musical theater attendees. Very
next
cool.
Next to Evita, Phantom is the show that I have seen most.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, and with various people, Davis Gaines, Robert Guillaume, when he was in it here.
Yeah, long time.
And Frank D'Ambrosio, so many people that play that role. At any rate, I think it's time, isn't it?
Time, you say? Time for what?
And now, embarrassing moments.
And now you know why we lock the doors, because people just run. They just run when they hear the voice of God telling them that this has come.
All
this
right.
is a little bit we do where we ask a moment that might have been so terrifying, you almost left the business, but you got through it, and things continue to go on. Many of our young performers love this because it shows them that anything can and will happen, and you got to keep going. Either of you have anything that comes to mind?
Oh, so many, but I'll choose one. one of my performances as Christine in New York, there's the moment in the lair, the first scene in the lair, which is when the music of the night is sung, where I faint, the phantom carries me to the boat, he puts his cape over me as a blanket, and I fall asleep.
Such a nice phantom.
Such a nice phantom, to protect me like that. But he flung the cape over me, and it got the boat pole with it, and it smacked me in the head, and I blacked out on stage.
Oh, my God.
And when I came to, the music for the next song, which is called The Morning After, started, which is the song that I sing, and I just, with tears down my face, sang it, and then I ran off stage, and I was dizzy and confused, and they said, well, you're going to go to the hospital now, because we saw what happened.
Right.
Your understudy's getting dressed right now, and she's going to go on and finish the show for you. And, you know, I was fine. I was lightly concussed, but I was back, you know.
Concussed.
Which is also the name of a great show. Let's go with a great theater show. Lightly concussed.
Yeah, but, you know, the show goes on, and that's why you have awesome understudies in the building. And But it was just one of those moments where you go, like, anything can happen.
Is that the only time an understudy's had to go on mid-performance for you?
For me, yes.
That's a kind of a rare occurrence. You know, that's
it
a hard. You have to have a serious thing
Something
like that
serious
happen.
Has to happen.
And thank goodness they saw and knew what was going on, because you might not have been in a place to know
absolutely
how badly you were hurt.
But when
oh my
you
goodness.
Came to, you came to at the right time to be able to sing the song.
Yeah, I wasn't out long. I just sort of like had a moment where I didn't know what happened, but because my eyes were closed, I thought a light had fallen on me.
Oh,
that's
right.
Kind of what it. Felt like.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. I mean, it was such a freak accident, you know.
That's so strange. And after doing it the same way so many times, you never expect that.
The stage manager said, you know, in 30 years, that's never happened before. And so, of course, it's got to happen once, you know. But yeah, you know, it was just, and, you know, I've fallen mid-stage right on my, you know, butt before. You know, it's just like, you just have to get up and go like, the beauty of live theater, right? Yeah. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily, wow. No one was hurt. I was not, hurt or anything.
Extra points for unconsciousness, though.
Absolutely.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Singing well can cost. Yeah, I right? think yeah. that's extra points.
Thank you. Megan?
Okay, I thought about it. I don't get easily embarrassed, and I feel like embarrassing things happen to me on a constant basis. That is just a stream that I just deal with. But I don't have anywhere near as cool of a story as being, concussed on stage. the thing that came to mind, it's more kind of gross, and I won't go into detail. I guess, but so when we were on Providence, so by the way, this is baby's first tour, and tour life is real, man. And I mean, it's very glamorous and very real. And we were in Providence, and I had sushi, and I got massive food poisoning.
Oh, no.
And it struck when I was at the theater, and I was like, oh my God. So my dresser backstage had Pedialyte, and I literally, every time I got off stage, would be fed Pedialyte and do what I needed to do, if you will. And then brush my teeth because I kiss people in the show. So I'd be like, sorry, guys, guess what I just did off stage? And the whole show, that's exactly what I was doing. It would be like, sing, 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 drink Pedialyte, go.
The show must go on.
It's actually a great scene in the show, Lightly Concussed.
We can weave that in. But I don't know. I wasn't really embarrassed. It was more like, oh, God, sorry, guys.
Right. But what a struggle to get through. And not feeling well when you have to do your job is one thing, but knowing you can't take days off and knowing you got to be fully on point for all these people watching, it's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
Oh. It's part of our job, though.
Frank D'Ambrosio, who I referenced earlier,
of course, before,
he told me that he holds the record for the longest run of being the Phantom in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
He went on stage with 104 degree temperature.
Oh.
By the time he got to the theater, it was that high.
Wow.
And he chose to go on through the whole thing and made it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But not to be advised, I think.
Different industry we're in, isn't it? Well, what a pleasure to have both of you here, and
Absolutely.
Best wishes on this show.
I
got to ask you. Obviously,
the tour.
That's right. Great things ahead. We've just posted a picture of you on our Instagram page. People want to go put a voice with a face, that sort of thing. But where can people find out more about you if they want to find out more and follow you a little bit?
They can go to my website, which is marymichaelpatterson.com. That's a great place to start.
To
and
like
I have
that.
An Instagram, which is at mmpatter.
Mmpatter.
That's
very
correct.
Cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
So either of those places, you can see what's going on and send me a message if you want. And
excellent.
Yeah.
Do you
and
respond
you?
To messages?
I do, yeah. People send me nice emails, and I respond. And
very nice.
It's a nice
you be careful. Michael and I are going to start emailing all the time. Yeah, we have a friend.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful occurrence.
That's all right.
How about you, Megan?
Same. My website is www.meganpaterno.com, and then my Instagram is at meganpaterno. And that's it.
Cool. Well, I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time on both your websites last night as I built your background and all that sort of thing for the script. Great websites and also really fun stuff going on in your careers. Great things ahead for both of you. We wish you all the best. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Our audience obviously loves you. You guys will come back and see us again soon, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. please.
Again, the name of the show is Love Never Dies, and it's a beautiful piece, and it's on stage right now through April 22nd at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. One more time, go to Ticketmaster. You can call them, of course, at 1-800-982-2787.
And we assure you that by going to the Pantages Theater, which is just as beautiful and opulent as Love Never Dies, that you will have the double experience of being in that environment. What a perfect place to put that.
It's just a marriage meant to be, isn't it? Although I think you could say that about almost any show at the Pantages. They always house them so well down there. All fun trip out. Lots of good stuff going on in Southern California. Obviously, the Willows. We've mentioned Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is playing now. And, of course, South Pacific as well. So.
And all shook up.
So, Michael, no excuse for people not to get out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What should we tell people to do?
Put that remote down.
That's right.
Get away from your TV. Get up off that couch. Get your children. Put them in the car and take them to see live theater.
That's right.
Because if you don't, you may not have a chance, or we may not have a chance in the future to do so. So
that's right. Very,
very
well said. Michael, great to see you. Where do I see you next
Thank
week?
Thank you, sir. On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.